how can it be that we don't know anything about African art yet, and we don't see it in galleries or in museums? And that is when we started browsing on the internet in search of African art. And for example, we started out country by country. You name Uganda, and then the capital is Kampala, and then you search for a gallery and you see every art. It's an amazing gallery, by the way. And then you look for artists and you see Sungi Mangeya. And then we said, okay, Sungi Mangeya. Oh, wow, this is nice. Why is this not famous in the world? And that was the start of our journey of collecting African art.
Welcome to the Latitudes podcast, the voice of art from Africa. I'm your host, Refilwe Mpakanyane. Powered by i2 Art Ensure, Season 2 dives deep into the African art world across 12 curated episodes. Structured around four interconnected themes, we bring you insights from artists, curators, critics, and collectors. Join us as they reveal industry inner workings, creative journeys, market dynamics, criticism, and the evolving role of patrons. i2 Art Ensure offers peace of mind for passionate collectors. Do you own a growing art collection, or maybe just one special piece that means the world to you? Either way, i2 Art Ensure has your back. We know art and we know insurance, which means we understand exactly how to protect what matters to you, from irreplaceable heirlooms to your latest investment. Whether it's hanging on your wall, in storage, or on its way to a fair, we'll make sure it's covered. Visit i2.co.za or chat to your broker to find out more. i2 Art Ensure is an authorized financial services provider. In this episode of the Latitudes podcast, I'm joined by avid collectors and the power couple behind the Schulting Collection of Contemporary African Art, Carla and Peter Schulting. Carla and Peter have a vast collection, and along with being attracted by the novelty and freshness of contemporary African art, their main aim was to have artwork and artists from every single African country represented in their collection, and of course, they've achieved this. In this conversation, we unpack how their role as collectors inevitably sets them up to be patrons of the arts. We look at their dedication to learning about and collecting young contemporary artists, and we discuss their process of discovery and how they get to know the artist behind the work. Proud as they are of incorporating their art into their home and everyday life, the collecting has resulted in a museum exhibition in Kunsthalkade in the Netherlands in 2023. This knockout exhibition presented a large cross-section of their collection, which includes sculptures, photography, textiles, portraiture, and really anything in between. That exhibition featured 145 artworks by 135 different artists from 33 African countries. Peter and Carla also recently shared news of an upcoming museum show of their collection. This will take place in Lisbon, Portugal in the spring of 2027 and will be held in the brand new Museum of Contemporary Art Armando Martin. Unspooling in a considered and deliberate pace, Peter and Carla's conversation shows a lovely generosity of spirit and a calm drive to expose as many people as possible to the wonders of contemporary African art. Let's get into it. Peter and Carla, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you making yourselves available. Hello.
Hello. Happy to join you. Hi.
Here we are.
It really is such a pleasure to have you here. You have been collecting art since the 90s. Your collection of, according to this BMW Art magazine article that I'm looking at, your collection stands at northwards of 350 artworks, and it covers several different movements such as pop art, street art, and your focus from around 2018, which turned to contemporary art from Africa and the African diaspora. Could you tell me what brought about this repositioning or this pivot? And that sounds like a very hard departure from your previous collection. But, you know, this pivot into contemporary African art, what was in the water in 2018, or which artist caught your eye?
Yeah.
This is for Peter.
For any one of you. But Peter said yes, so please go ahead.
We will talk both, don't worry. Yeah. So as you told the people that we started collecting with Dutch Romantic paintings from the 19th century and so on, we went to French paintings and pop art and street art, etc. And after 30 years, you have seen it all. And then we had a talk in 2018 in Amsterdam about African contemporary art. And we said, okay, let's go there because we don't know anything about this. And during this talk, we bought an artwork by Ephraim Solomon from Ethiopia, just because we fell in love with it. And the other thing is that Carla lived as a child in Ethiopia.
Yes.
And then we came home and then we said to each other, oh, this is a very interesting talk, but how can it be that we don't know anything about African art yet and we don't see it in galleries or in museums? And that is when we started browsing on the internet in search of African art. And for example, we started out country by country. You name Uganda and then the capital is Kampala, and then you search for a gallery and you see every art. It's an amazing gallery, by the way. And then you look for artists and Sungi Mundeya. And then we said, okay, Sungi Mundeya. Oh, wow, this is nice. Why is this not famous in the world? And that was the start of our journey of collecting African art. So we were already in love, and then we fell completely in love with African art. And we started buying like crazy.
Yeah.
The story.
Of course, you're using like crazy in its literal sort of sense.
Collector is a strange person, of course.
Yeah. Yes. What, just talk us through looking after such a vast collection. What is entailed within all of the caretaking of a vast collection of art?
Well, I think the caretaking in a literal sense is, of course, that you really take care of your art and try and hang it in a safe position and position it, for example, sculptures in places where it cannot be hurt in any way. And that if you store your art, you need to store it also in a safe place with good climate conditions.
Yeah.
But I think also part of this whole thing is like being a custodian of the art for future generations and trying to get this whole collection and keep it together and try and show it to people, to share it and not just keep it for yourself.
Yeah, but we live with our artwork. So of course, we can't hang it all in our house because we have much too much. And you said 350, we can say it's much more than that. We live in the house, our house is completely filled with art, but the most of it is in storage. And we enjoy it to live with art, but our artwork. And we love to show it to other people. That's what we do.
Yes, of course. Yeah. And of course, you have the benefit of being able to live with your art because there are no small kids running around. They've since left the house.
Yeah.
That definitely
children
helps.
Left the house, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Their bedrooms are full of art now.
Yes, yes. We've taken over the whole house.
Yes.
All the children's rooms are converted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's lovely. Let's talk about, you know, that practice of sharing your art with the world and beyond your friends and your close mutual connections. Let's talk about African Supernova that was on view at the, is it Kunstelkade or Kunstelkade?
Yeah.
Yes.
I always say Kade in my head,
Kade.
And I realized.
Yeah.
Kade is like the sides of a canal, the walls of a canal.
It's a very famous museum in the Netherlands.
The whole story that Peter just told about our collecting history resulted actually in the end, of course, in Africa Supernova.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, with the African contemporary art, we were actually collecting mostly portraiture and figuration, and that's what caught our eye.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this work by Ephraim Solomon was a portrait. But after a while, we started collecting also very many different iterations of art, like sculptures and works by textile and works, photographs, works of glass and whatever. And all of this resulted in that museum exhibition of Africa Supernova, because the museum director, Robert Rose, saw the works on our Instagram and contacted us. And he said, wow, this is a really great collection. Can I come and see it? Which he did. Mm-hmm. And then he was caught by it as well. And he said, I think this is like a movement. There's something happening here. And I think we should grasp this moment to show this to the Dutch public, who, like we said to each other before already, have no clue, because most people here in the Netherlands thought, and maybe perhaps still think, that art from Africa is the ethnic sculptures that, you know, art fairs like Tefaf sell, the wooden sculptures.
But of course, or curios still, curios for the consumption of tourists, right?
Yes, and also that.
And of course, there were famous African artists 10 years, 20 years ago.
Of course.
Matsui and Kentridge, but they were only famous with a small group of people, mostly museum people. And just the ordinary people in the street, they have no clue. And that was so nice to see when we opened our exhibition. That was an amazing success. Normally, the lots of people came, about around 30,000, I remember.
Which is a lot for this.
It's a lot in three months.
Yeah.
And the museum sold almost 3,000 catalogues. And normally they sell 400 catalogues.
Yeah, 400 per show. So per show. This exceeded everybody's expectations.
We were on television, radio, all the newspapers, and it was an amazing success. And normally when you go to a Dutch museum, people like Peter and Carla, a little bit older, gray.
That's quite a lot older.
But not Carla's not gray, I'm gray. But Africa Supernova was amazing because we started with people like us, and then in the end, there were many people of color, young people, many families went to the show.
Yes, because they passed it on by word of mouth.
Yeah,
people said,
you
have to go and see this show. And there were many people who approached us because we were there a lot, of course. And in the museum, they told us, oh my gosh, I never knew that art from the continent would be like this. I had a completely different idea in my head of what I was going to see.
Yeah.
And many people had been to Africa and said, oh, I recognize this, that, and that. And they were really all touched by it. So, we really felt that it was a success.
Because it was also a nice overview. It were not only paintings, but all photographs, sculptures, textile works, etc.
Yeah, a really comprehensive clutch of the mediums.
Yeah.
Isn't technology such a beautiful thing? The fact that the head of the museum was able to see what you're doing by virtue of your Instagram. And I imagine that Instagram became another medium through which, yes, there was the word of mouth and the excitement of people going to see this exhibition. But once again, people posting and just showing the vitality and how visceral enjoyment that they had of the exhibition. That must be just an amazing tool as well for advancing the cause of people just opening up our world to more art, to African art.
You're completely right about that, because what we see every day and also since the show is that people from all over the world have been, one, following us, and two, finding out about all these artists that they didn't know about before. So the reach has been enormous, far beyond what we could have done personally if we didn't have Instagram.
Yeah.
And people also ask us for advice, and they buy the catalog. Okay, it's sold out now. And then they copy us. And it's a big compliment, of course, that they buy what we have already bought. And it's so good for the artist, because our collection is for over 60-70% is young artists. And with Africa Supernova, we gave them their first museum show.
Yeah,
it's so important for artists to have a museum show that you can say, oh, yeah, it was already in a museum.
It's a beautiful kickoff to their careers.
Yeah, absolutely. And a very necessary one too. Staying with the exhibition and the catalogues as well, Azu Nabogu contributed to the catalogue. And if I remember correctly, came up with the title Africa Supernova. And this is what Azu said about the works on display. Azu said, contemporary African artists from this awareness fold past, present and future together in their work, filling up a gap in a representation that seems impossible to breach through the self-appropriation lent by figure. I guess hence your exploration of other mediums as well. But Azu went on to write that this filling up of a breach is not merely a political and aesthetics statement. It's a matter of poise. And it is the conscious construction of a visual language in contemporary African art that dignifies its subjects regardless of context. And it seems to me, and I wonder if you guys talk about this or how deeply you think about this, that a lot of this work that you're doing, and I call it work, but you've pointed out to me earlier on that it's a pleasure to do this collecting that you do. But a lot of the work that you are doing, or a lot of the lifting that the exhibition was doing, was a type of redress in dealing with stereotypes or lack of knowledge or sometimes willful ignorance or just a lack of a sort of leveled playing field. Do you view your collecting in this way?
We didn't really view our collecting in this way, but we found out about it in the course of time, certainly in the course of that show, because we spoke to so many of the young artists themselves. Many came to see the show. We spoke to many of the visitors. We had so many remarks like, wow, I'm seeing myself for the first time when a person of color is looking at one of these paintings that we had. They were really touched by the fact that they finally saw themselves in a museum, whereas they had not been able to do so before because of the dominance of white figuration, of course, through the centuries, but also in the past decades, that there has been no no knowledge or no presentation of Black figuration before. So they were really all touched by it. And we thought, this is really fantastic that we're helping out in this way so that people can find themselves who have not found themselves before in this setting.
After the break, we continue our conversation. Looking to discover and collect art from Africa's most exciting talent? Latitudes Online is the world's leading market for art from Africa, connecting you to over 2,000 artists across the continent. Browse curated collections, read thought-provoking editorial, and shop with confidence knowing your artwork will be delivered safely and securely. Head to latitudes.online to explore the future of African art.
Peter, you've said before that you don't necessarily like to use the term African art because, of course, Africa is not a country. So when we talk about African art and use that term very loosely, what are you talking about and what are you thinking about aside from the geography of where the art comes from?
Yeah, okay. For us, we buy what we like. And what we see now, that the art what is made on the continent is such a high quality. It's unique. And that's for us the main reason to collect African art. And the other thing is that because there are 54 countries and we have works from all the 54 countries, I think nobody has that. And then you see how the differences, because someone from Morocco makes a completely other artwork than from someone from Nigeria or South Africa. So we have this overview. And I'm reading a lot about African art, not only the contemporary, but also modern art. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing continent. And we are so happy that it's now in the spotlight and it will never go away. Don't worry. Maybe some people talk about the hype of African art. No, it will never go away because we see what attention people write us and we give interviews and museum shows coming of African artists everywhere in the world. Don't worry about African art. And for us, it's an adventure. It's still an adventure.
Yeah. It's still an adventure. Let's talk about adventure before we talk about relationships with artists. That sense of adventure and the fact that, as you say, you go online, you read up on various new or various emerging artists, etc. When you do buy or when you are able to visit the continent and come and buy art, what do those trips generally look like? Because from what I'm hearing around your strategy of discovering artists and collecting artists, you both seem, yes, this might be a passion, but you both seem quite regimented. And I don't know if it's your background, Peter, in the pharmaceutical industry, or Carla, your own background as a buyer. But there seems to be a definite method to this passion. And I can see you planning a rather tight agenda by which you will go ahead and discover and have fun on this adventure.
I'm not sure that we ourselves are aware of this rigidity.
So regimented, not rigidity, right? Okay. Just structured.
Regimented.
Yeah. I think regimented is a definitely more, much more positive.
Yes, but of course, when we visit art fairs, or often we've been to South Africa, Cape Town, to see that art fair, where, of course, we can see many artists from the continent. We do usually have a bit of a plan because certainly one of our previous missions was to buy art from the whole continent, from each and every country. We would have had that plan to try and find the right artists within what we love to fit those countries.
Sometimes it's very difficult because there are countries where there are many artists like Nigeria, South Africa, Ghana, but there are also countries like Mauritania, there are only a few, Central African Republic. But that's so nice to do then for us to discover.
But the main thing is still that if we would be at one of these art fairs or in a gallery or whatever, we would not per se buy because we have found an artist from that country. We would only buy it because we still love it. And we buy, well, perhaps intuitively, because, and it so happens that we, in many instances, we love, we have the same love for an artwork. So we have the sort of the same taste.
Yeah,
for,
that makes it easy.
It makes it a lot easier, so we don't have any arguments here at home. Yeah. But that's the way we collect. We really have to fall in love with an artwork. But like at the previous Cape Town Art Fair, we saw a work from Tunisian artist Asma Ben Aissa.
Yeah.
And She was from a country that we still needed to collect. And she was in the upcoming, I think it was called the Projects Department of the Fair, and which is, of course, also for very young artists to show their work. And that is also part of what we like in the collecting thing, that we're trying to help these young artists. So for us, it would be nicer to buy an artwork from a young upcoming artist than from somebody who's already more established, because then we can help them forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can follow their career. You can help them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is such a beautiful way to think of it. And I think beyond feeling as though, or knowing that you came in on the ground floor, as it were, or discovered them when they were largely unknown, I wonder if that feeling of supporting a young or emerging artist extends to then having somewhat of a closer relationship with them, perhaps knowing them personally or even corresponding with them. Do you go as far as that within your collecting, and perhaps try to extend it into a sort of larger aspect of being an art patron?
Yes, we have contact with many artists. Most of them we met. And the funny thing is, we always make a photograph with them. So we started 15, 20 years ago with making photographs with artists. So we have two books of photos with artists, but that beside. Yeah. But we try to explain them, especially the young ones, how the artwork outworld works. So stay with your gallery, don't produce too much, bring only quality works on the market, don't do garage sales, and mostly they listen. But we have also examples of artists who haven't listened, and then it goes wrong. But some of the artists visit the Netherlands and you come to our house or met them at art fairs like 154 or ACA fair, and we have very good contact with them.
I'm assuming that the artist derives a lot from this kind of relationship and a direct line to a buyer by way of the kind of information and advice and perhaps opportunity, not perhaps, absolutely the opportunities that this brings about. What do you derive from this close connection with artists, whether be it personal, just emotional?
Yes, it's personal and emotional because it's also the sense of immediacy that you have, the being living in the actual world where you can speak to living artists, and some struggle, some are more easily successful. But it's a very big difference from collecting what we did 30 years ago, where we were collecting all these deceased artists. There's the interaction now that you can see what's happening to an artist, and you can follow their careers, and you can see, hey, the artist didn't have a gallery and now he does have a gallery, or he's moving on to a better gallery, or is being shown on a big art fair, or is going to a biennale in either Dakar or Venice. It's very nice to see all these trajectories that they're going through. So I think that is really nice for us.
Because art history is making now. This is the moment. When you look back in 30 years, then people say, okay, we have had Chinese art in the 90s. And when is African art? It was around 2020, maybe a little bit earlier. And who were the artists who were there? And we are collecting them. We have not all of them, of course. We can't afford everything to buy, but most of them we have in our collection.
Yeah. It seems to me you both have a keen sense or understanding that you are living history at this moment.
Absolutely.
And we've been lucky enough to be in this whole process of the recognition of art from the African continent.
I came across the Rinascimento Awards and reading about their founder, Sergio Risoliti, who spoke about the mission of these awards as exploring and promoting exemplary contemporary art patronage, and saying the spirit of the patrons of the past must animate present-day collectors in believing that their support of the arts can have real value in the public sphere and influence the local area and the community. When you, beyond what we've spoken about so far, when you think about your own responsibilities as patrons of the arts, how do you think about that in relation to museums and other arts institutions? Is that something, are those the kind of relationships that you also nurture and strive to create so that you are creating sort of networks and pathways for your work to travel or for your collections to travel?
In the beginning, you're not a patron, you're only a collector. But after a while, you became patron naturally. For example, you lend out works to museums or institutions. And of course, we had our own museum show. And then, especially for the young artists, they have their first museum show. And then you talk to these artists, give them advice, and then on a natural way, you become a patron.
Sure. And
we are in the middle of this process now.
Mm. Yes. Mm. But when you speak of relations with museums or institutions, and that can be something of attention sometimes, because at the moment our collection is the overview of art from the whole continent. Yes. And we have artworks from all the 54 African countries. And that's because we liked to just to fulfill that mission. And we also have a great variety of the types of artworks. But with all of that whole new collecting after Africa Supernova, for us it would be great to have a new museum show somewhere. We don't really mind where, but a new museum show where our work could be shown safely. But the tension could be that museum curators tend to make exhibitions according to either a sort of a theme or something that they have in mind, which does not necessarily really convert to what we have in mind. So, of course, we do lend individual works to museums, but at this moment, we think it would be lovely to show the general public that we have works from each individual African country as a whole. And so that might be a little bit of a difficult thing to achieve. But I don't know. We'd have to see if we could get a connection somewhere.
Have you been asked to sit on any museum boards or consult in any sort of advisory capacity in that regard? Would it be something you might be interested in?
It could be. We have been asked, but also it's a question of distance and time involved. And at the moment that we were asked at that particular time, we were already so involved in our show and there was just no time. So perhaps that's something for the future. Maybe we'll do that at some point.
Peter, when you were talking about the artists featured in Africa Supernova, you said we want this, as we've mentioned, this exhibition to provide an overview of the young artists who are now putting Africa on the global map. And as you said already, we think that when you look back in 20 years, this period will be a part of art history. I'm wondering what both of you, Peter and Carla, I'm wondering what the feeling is or what the feeling was running up to Africa Supernova and knowing that your hard work was going to be put on this amazing platform. Why do you fundamentally want to share it with people?
Yeah, because I think as a collector, you can have all the artworks in your house or apartment and you don't show it to everybody. Mm. But we think we have to share it with other people. And therefore, was Africa Supernova, the museum show, was amazing for us. But not only for us, because of the reactions of the people, the visitors. They were amazing. And then we were there 3 days a week, talking to people, giving tours, giving talks, etc., etc. And explaining to the audience what the artworks mean, the meaning of the artworks, because you can look at an artwork and you can say, okay, I like it, I don't like it. But 80-90% of the artworks we showed, they have a special meaning, that the artist has an opinion with it. And that's so nice to explain it to other people.
Yeah. Also, in the run-up to the show, we actually already knew of many of the artists that we'd collected that friends of ours really liked them as well. So that really gave us the impetus to know that people were going to like this because we heard this from firsthand.
That's so funny.
You had your own focus group.
When friends come to our house and they said, okay, who's this? Who's this? Where can I buy it? So many African artists are around our house now. Because lots of our friends bought it.
After the break, we continue our conversation. Are you passionate about the power of the arts to drive change and build meaningful connections? Business and Arts South Africa, BASA, is here to bridge the gap between business and the arts. Whether you're a business looking to invest in the creative sector or an artist seeking to grow your impact, BASA membership connects you to the people, programs, and partnerships that matter. Visit basa.co.za for more info and be part of bridging the gap.
I was reading an old, and by old about circa 2018, Financial Times article that was written by Roy Lichtenstein, and they were examining the impact that private museums are having on the Dutch arts landscape. And one passage really stuck out for me, and I thought I'd just bring this up and just test the wind with you guys. It reads, "The new institutions," and that is private museums, "represent a sea change in a country where ostentatious displays of wealth are still often frowned upon." And they surmise that this is the influence of Dutch Calvinism, say some of those involved. The sometimes contentious relationship in Dutch society between money and art was highlighted last year when Beatrix Roof, director of Amsterdam Stedelijk Museum of Modern and Contemporary Art, stood down amid a row that included scrutiny of her relationship with private collectors. Now, no need to comment on Beatrice's having to step down. Like I said, it is an old article. But I wondered if this sense of conservatism and a tension between money and using your money in such a public way, have you ever felt any inkling of this kind of conservatism that was alluded to in this passage of the article? Or has society moved on and loosened up since then?
Not really, not regarding us personally, but we have heard from certain friends or acquaintances that, have you bought another artwork? Have you really? Another one? And another one? Yeah. You said you were going to stop? No, oh, we bought another one. And that was, of course, part of our mission, that we wanted to complete it. So every time we said, we've stopped now, we're not going to collect for a while, nobody would believe us. Yeah. And indeed, a week later, we'd buy another one. But not personally. But I think actually the whole Africa Supernova exhibition just proved that really people really appreciate the fact that you're sharing your art. And we had so many comments on that and people thanking us and saying, oh, this is really great that you're doing this. And yes, they appreciated that very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
We go our own way.
Yeah. I did ask you to do just a teeny weeny bit of homework in preparation for our chat today. What sources do you turn to for insights into art world trends, developments around artists, etc.? What are you using to read up on, get the background around artists, etc.? Whether it's ArtThrob, for instance, or maybe the UBS Art Basel report that comes out annually. Who do you tend to turn to?
Lots of mediums, of course. We love Instagram. And people should know our Instagram account, Schulting Art Collection, and Azunwa Bogu, and we follow lots of people. And we also buy African art books, because 5 years ago, there were not so many contemporary African art books, but now you have African artists, the Green Book and African Art Now from Osei Bonsu, and when we see is the catalogue, and so that gives us lots of information.
World in Common.
Yeah. World Common, and it's a pity, there's only one African art auction at the moment. It's only Miss Bonham's, because Sotheby's and Christie's stopped with African art auctions because they say, okay, I think it's a financial reason.
Yes, but they're incorporating them in their ordinary auctions.
Yeah. And we go to the art fairs. We always go to 154. We go to Accra and Cape Town, and we have never been to Latitudes. We have to do that.
Yes,
you definitely do. We had it was fun this past iteration.
Yeah, a friend of mine visited, so she's very enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And we Google a lot, and we receive lots of emails from galleries and museums, etc. Yeah, we spend hours a day studying.
Yeah, Google is also a helpful friend.
I like that a lot. Speaking of Osei Bonsu, I'm just thinking of what a fantastic job he's done with his latest publication. And not a small job to collate and put together a sort of comprehensive list of people to watch right now. And one imagines the kind of thought that goes into, and also, just mind-boggling job to undertake or to give oneself. Which artists are on your radar right now that you're keeping an eye on and you're just incredibly excited about? Who might that be?
We might mention three artists that are now actually or have been at the Rijksacademie in Amsterdam, which is a prestigious academy and very renowned. One would be Eniwaye Oluwaseyi, who recently won the Royal Prize of the Arts in the Netherlands.
Yeah, and he's at the Academy now.
Yeah, he's at the Academy now. He just presented his work in the final end-of-year show. He's from Nigeria. He's very young. He's now
around 30.
Yeah, around 30.
We see him tomorrow, by the way.
Yes. And he's a very promising artist.
Yeah.
Another is Agnes Waru, who was in the previous iteration last year at the Rijksakademie. She's from Kenya. And she makes beautiful works with a sort of a dreamy, mesmerizing abstraction on her works. A lot of works on paper, but also on textile.
Yeah.
And another one that we could say is Tato Tuba, a work by whom we just recently bought. She's also been at the Rijksakademie. She's from South Africa.
Yeah.
And she makes very interesting, yes, how can I describe it? Collages using photographs and mirrors and apertures in sculptural work. So we find her very interesting, different.
Yeah, but there are many more talented
artists. These are just three to mention.
There are many more.
Yeah, many more, absolutely.
But these three are close to our house now.
Yes.
They are from the continent, but they live in Amsterdam now, and therefore we mention them now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're very good.
They're very good, and they have a lot of talent. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been accepted at this academy. So we think they have fantastic careers ahead of them.
To the forces or the influences that shaped, I guess, your own ability to appreciate and love art, Carla, what do you think it was in your own maybe upbringing or earlier life that brought you to this point where art as a passion and art as an abiding endeavor could become possible? Did you grow up in a creative household and one that fostered this kind of curiosity and appreciation?
Not really, no. I think it only came with adulthood and even more when meeting Peter. I did collect some bric-a-brac and little knicks and knacks as a young girl, but nothing worth mentioning. But no, that came on in adulthood, and it was just a question of seeing a lot of art after a point in time where we went to lots of art fairs and saw so much art that you become intrigued, and that's when you start collecting. So I cannot link it back to my childhood, but Peter can, because his parents collected also 19th
century.
Yeah,
my parents collected 19th century, not very much, but they collected.
Yeah.
And they had all kinds of art books in the house, but I was only playing football, so it was not interested for me.
Yeah.
But when I came in the end of my 20s, early 30s, I started collecting. And then, because when I was young, I collected already stamps, etc. So something in me,
No, that's really fantastic. I suppose I could ask you where to from here for the Schulting collection, but I guess in a sense we've covered the fact that you want the world to see more of your collection in various museums and other art institutions. But let me ask that question, where to next?
But not because of Peter and Carla, because we are over 60 and it's nice that you have attention and the people say, oh, nice what you're doing. But we do it for the artist. We do it for the art. And what's next? Yeah, okay, we hope a new museum show, but I think 10 paintings of us go into, I can't mention the name, to a famous museum here in the Netherlands for half a year. Next year. And
So it's the mission is now perhaps to promote African art in general.
And we go
and
on
as much as we can.
We are going to improve our collection, of course.
Yeah.
So we go on because collecting is so nice to do. And you meet so many nice people.
Yeah.
Sounds really gratifying.
Yeah.
Here's a question that I end most of our conversations with on the Latitudes podcast. And you can both answer this for yourselves and you can be as existential or as practical as you'd like. It's something that I got from American talk show host Oprah Winfrey back in the day. Peter and Carla Schulting, what do you know for sure?
I know for sure that we will stay together. Our marriage is a harmonious one, and we will stay together. And I also know for sure that we will continue on this route that we have taken regarding African art. And we're really trying to get other people involved.
Yeah,
I know that for sure.
Because I know for sure that collecting is not only collecting. It's nice that you have the possibility to buy an artwork. It's nice. We enjoy that. But on the other hand, meeting people, having dinners, having invited by museum shows, by galleries, doing interviews on the radio or on newspapers, etc.
Yes, the whole joy.
The whole joy. Yeah. Collecting is only 50%. The other thing is promoting, in our case, African art.
Yeah. Mm.
And we hope to do it for a long time.
Yeah. It might be nice to just add, this is a sidetrack, but so we just completed that collection of the 54 countries, and the last country we collected an artwork from was Djibouti. And
yes.
Many people in our circle of friends don't even know where Djibouti is, which is northeast of Ethiopia. And it's a huge tapestry work by Guled Ahmed. So that completes our complete 54.
But we only receive it somewhere next year because it was at the Dakar Biennial, and then now it's going to Poland. And in the middle of
to
next year, it's in our house.
You won't come here till next year. Yeah.
That sounds like the longest adoption story ever. We should check back in with you guys when it finally arrives.
Yes, you must come over and have a look at our collections.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Peter and Carla, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. It really has been inspiring and gratifying to speak to you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you so much for having us.
For this season of the podcast, Latitudes has teamed up with Art School Africa to bring you a series of fresh and insightful conversations. Art School Africa, a pioneering nonprofit, empowers art practitioners across the continent, like yourself, with essential business skills, mentorship, and market access opportunities. While Africa is home to a rich cultural history, access to global markets and educational resources remains limited. Art School Africa responds to these challenges by serving as a cultural engine, fueling bold, relevant, and research-driven programming, both independently and through strategic collaborations. Learn more at artschoolafrica.com or follow at Art School Africa on Instagram. Thanks for listening to the Latitudes podcast, the voice of art in Africa. Please support us by liking, subscribing, and sharing the podcast. The Latitudes podcast is hosted by myself, Refilwe Mpakanyane, for the Rare Event Foundry, and produced by DBO Media.